With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Get one of the most successful broadcasts in television history on your schedule with the 60 Minutes podcast. Hard-hitting investigative reports, news, and culture maker interviews, and in-depth profiles are waiting for you in every episode. Listen to 60 Minutes every Sunday wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. We are back. I believe this is day two of Make Me Smart, the daily edition. It is, of course, Friday, and we are doing that thing we're going to do from now on for a while to the end of the present circumstances, which is get together at the end of the day and sort of recap and maybe signpost a little bit of what's been going on, what's on our minds, what's on y'all's minds, because it's all of us together in this thing. That's what I got.
Exactly. What you need to know to make today make sense, we hope. That's such yes. I realize that's wonderful branding and yet a large ask of the two of us.
And we said such nice things about the brand team yesterday.
I mean, it's really which good. It really awesome. Is good. Yes. If we can do that, let's just consider it aspirational. No, we are going to do we are going to do what we can in what we are calling sort of an abridged news fix. We have each brought some items to discuss. Yep. From the day to hopefully give some context around. Kai put like a chart in
here. I
did. Here.
I have graphs, which is tricky on the radio.
It's all happening. Yeah. All right. Why don't you go first and just don't read all the commas.
I will not. But so look, so here's the way I was thinking about this going in, right? And this comes, I should say, after a note on our podcast yesterday from that emotional paragon, Deborah Clark, the senior vice president and general manager. So she got a hold of me today and said, loved it. It was great. Everything was fine. But look, you need to remember that not everybody is as down in the weeds on this stuff as you and Molly are. And so maybe a little big picture context would be better. And then she started talking about something else. So it got me to thinking that really what I should have done yesterday with my allotted time period in this abbreviated little module we're doing is remind people how we got here and where here is. Because where here is that the economy of the United States and in many ways of the globe has hit a brick wall. And I'm going to start on February the 17th, which is when we all first remembered or recalled the phrase supply shock, because that's when Apple came out and said, oh my goodness, we're going to have a revenue hit because we can't get stuff we need out of China because at that point, of course, the world's factory was shut down. Here we are 1 month and 2 days later, and we have come to this, and I have two statistics for you. The first comes from the Transportation Security Administration, everybody's favorite government agency, and it's a number that came out yesterday. So yesterday, the TSA throughput, right, which obviously is the number of passengers they put through, was in all their operations in the United States, 623,608 people. Okay?
Okay.
A year ago today, it was 2.4 million people. Okay?
Wow.
And I'd be willing to bet that 10 days ago, it was probably well above a million, well above two. So that's what's happened to just air travel, okay? So that's the one little statistic I bring just for some context about how fast this has happened. And now I want to take you to the future. And I want to take you to the future with a report out from Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs came out either yesterday afternoon or today with a report that said, okay, so quarter one growth, and we're almost at the end of quarter one, right? January, February, March, is going to be on an annualized basis. It's going to be down from a year ago, 6%. And a year ago was probably like 2% growth. So we're going to be like -4% on economic growth. Quarter two growth, which starts, hasn't even started yet. And we already know how bad it's going to be, right? Quarter two growth is going to be down 24% from a year earlier. That is insane. Wow. That's nutty. That's nutty. That's just beyond comprehension. And so that's my, those are my markers for the day, right? Just as we think about where we are and where we're going to go, that's what I got.
I mean, what does that mean? Down 20, you know, what does that look like? Is there an, is there an historical precedent for that? That is not the Great Depression. Is the Great Depression even a precedent? Like, how do we compare this to anything we've ever seen?
I think the problem is that what we've got going on here, and it's not working in our favor, is speed, right? We are going to lose millions and millions and millions of jobs, quite probably as many jobs as we lost in the Great Recession, which was 8 million jobs, but we're going to lose them in like a month and a half.
Right.
Right? I mean, millions of them are already gone. Restaurants were closed. Airlines are laying people off. Hotels, forget it, right? And that's what's going to happen. Right. And it's happening that fast. That is the differentiator. Now, I should also say, by the way, that Goldman sees quarter three growth, right, which is July, August, September, up 12% and quarter four growth up 10%. So they're expecting a huge crash and then a reasonably rapid rebound, which is really heartening to see. But between here and there, I'm not sure we are ready for that. Thus endeth.
Yeah, I feel like. I feel like since there is essentially no precedent for what happens when the economy goes from 60 to zero and hits a brick wall, that seems like I'm just going to, with all due respect to the genius quants at Goldman, I am going to straight up ignore their Q3 and Q4 projections because
I'm sorry.
Like, what could that even be based on?
Yeah.
We have no idea how this is going to look.
Exactly. And you have to factor in the response from the Trump administration, which has been lagging at best, right, in terms of the let's set aside the economic response, right, from Congress and the Capitol and the White House. Let's set aside the let's consider instead, rather, the healthcare policy response. And that is going to, you know, determine our economic response, our economic health. Anyway.
Right. Well,
so that's me.
I mean, yeah, there are a million things to consider. How much money we print in the interim, how many industries go away. Yeah, anyway. Mm-hmm. Anyway, interestingly, I think that my items that I was reading this morning and last night are actually very similar to this, very related, because as the brick wall looms, I am definitely noticing an uptick in the number of venture capitalists and Wall Street Journal editorial board writers who are saying, you know, maybe we're overreacting. Like, maybe we should reconsider. Yes.
Oh,
absolutely.
My God. That's like the president saying, no, it's going to go away. We're going to have zero patients really soon.
I mean, it couldn't be surprising that as people sit there and watch their balance sheets drop— Watch the, you know, I mean, it's sort of like me looking at my 401k, except on a way larger scale.
Yeah.
And they're going, oh, money is draining out of here like water down a drain. We should really, and they're kind of trying to like reframe it as the human cost of the entrepreneur who sees his customers vanish in a week. And, but this is, make no mistake, this is happening because as the business realities start to become real, all the businessmans are basically tweeting the contrarian viewpoint all of a sudden, like looking for the one scientist, the outlier, the climate change denier.
Yeah, that's craziness.
Yep. But look for that to most likely continue. And so I found this great article that I have pinned on the top of my Twitter feed because it was so incredible. It's like a Medium piece. This is what is really fascinating about right now, right, is that you sort of feel like you're at this time where all voices are being heard in a way that is good and bad.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
I mean, it's sort of like everybody's an expert.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. Yes, for sure.
And you can kind of tell, you can almost watch this wave. Like, you can almost tell that everybody read the same article. Like, all the VCs and probably the Wall Street Journal editorial board read the same opinion piece that was in this medical journal called Stat News, where this Stanford researcher essentially argued, if you read the whole piece, which clearly these like VCs didn't necessarily, what it said was, we don't have enough data to know if we're doing the right thing. Like, we might be overreacting, but we don't know because we haven't tested everybody. So we don't know what the real death rate is and this and that, right? And it was spun instantly into, he says, we're the data shows we're massively overreacting, which is not what it said. And it was very clearly a somewhat contrarian opinion piece that really, and it was very academic. It was like, we don't know, and we'll only find out later.
Wow.
So anyway, there's this great piece. So, and it was like, I was like, oh, you guys all read this and you all sent it to each other and you were all like, this is the thing we're going to use to say we're overreacting. Let's slow down. Let's just like dial it back on the crush the economy mitigation suppression efforts. So this great piece is called The Hammer and the Dance, which is like the best title ever. Yeah. And what it says is like, look, we know if we just try mitigation, we will overwhelm our healthcare system and more people, many, many more people will die than need to die. If we suppress this thing, if we shut everything down, what we do is we buy the like incredible global ingenuity machine time. So that we may only have to shut everything down for 3 weeks instead of the 18 months we think it might take for us to find a vaccine or some sort of like roll. Because what we're all looking at now is the possibility that we'll have to have like rolling shutdowns for 18 months. And nobody thinks we can survive that.
Right. So the choice that's upon us is shut down the economy or paralyze and overwhelm our healthcare system. Right.
Which will shut down the economy because... Right. Tons of people will die, you know, like it'll have like a cascade effect in a million different ways. And so I found this actually hopeful. The reason I bring it up is because I thought it was incredible context and also hopeful because it said, look, if we do this one thing, it's sort of like how you can do any crappy workout for 20 minutes, no matter how painful it is. Like there's a lot of talk of workouts on Marketplace Slack right now. We can do anything for 3 weeks and that will buy us time to figure out treatment drugs for real. That will buy us time to create ventilators, to like get the supply chain moving of masks, to build hospitals, to create all of the systems that don't currently exist to actually deal with a whole bunch of people getting sick all at once.
Right.
And I think everybody should read it because like if the counter to maybe we're overreacting is like, what if we just go hard right now?
Yeah.
And give ourselves just buy that time.
Yeah. So we'll put the link to that thing on the page, right? And people can read it because it's good. The Hammer and the Dance.
It's amazing. It's a little long, but it's really good and has a super catchy title.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. All right. Time now for a moment to make me smile. So you go first.
I do have a moment to make me smile. And it's such a good idea. I'm just going to tell you, if you didn't hear yesterday's show, this was Kai Rizdahl's idea.
Believe it or not, believe it or not.
You are as surprised as I am.
I've been a little bit fragile lately.
He needs
a whole different. That's a whole different podcast.
Oh, okay. We'll talk after. Let's have a virtual happy hour. Everyone's doing it.
You know what we ought to do? Actually, is have a couple of beers while we're doing this thing on Fridays. Fridays only. Okay. 4 o'clock. My house and your, basement. Right.
Done.
It would be much
happy hour, make me smart.
Right, good, boom.
You know everybody's in for that.
What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Fire us?
What are they going to do? Also, we don't even have to tell them. We'll be like, yeah, it's water.
Yeah, that's fine. It's good. That's right. That's right. You can't see me. Oh, my goodness.
I know we already hopefully made you smile, but the thing that made me smile, and this is like amazing, is that apparently during this time where everybody is at home, not everybody, but a lot of cities and states.
A lot of people,
people are fostering animals like crazy.
Oh, that's cool.
Like people are signing up to foster pets.
That's really cool.
In droves by the thousands because they're at home and they need a buddy and they have time. Like dogs that's and cats cool. and ferrets and like house ponies.
All right, house ponies, don't give me the Arnold video, but also who has ferrets? I'm sure somebody listening has ferrets. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're getting an email because ferret totally people are hardcore.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, animals are winning the coronavirus. I'm just saying. Okay. They are the beneficiaries, and it's adorable.
Here is mine. It comes from a sportscaster in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. His name is Lane Grindle, and he tweeted out the other day a thing that said, sorry, I need to pull it up. Had I been more organized, I would have it with me right now. He said, what if we all put our Christmas lights back up? Then we could get in the car, drive around, and look at them. That seems like a fair social distancing activity. And I will tell you, I was out for an early morning bike ride today, and I saw somebody in my neighborhood with Christmas lights up. Now, I should say, I don't know if they just never took them down, but they were up.
That that's a good is thing. Adorable. Yeah.
Isn't that good?
I love this idea. Yeah, let's get this trending.
There you go.
I'm into it.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And that's it.
There we go. And that's
ta-da!
It. Boom. Done. Done.
Yep.
That's our
daily show.
Remember, we're still doing Tuesdays. We are still doing Tuesdays. We're going to keep this going for as long as we can on a daily basis until, you know, the news keeps going like this. Friday editions will have beer or whatever Ms. Wood's libation of choice is. And that's where we are.
It's happening. None of us really is as smart as all of us. Send us what you want to know about what's happening in this economy. Make me smart at marketplace.org.
Yes.
Beer suggestions. I don't know. Whatever. You know, we'll try to.
Beer, not crappy.
We're just going to try to keep everybody just in the loop. In the loop.
Yep. We're not doing this tomorrow. We're not doing this on weekends, right?
No, God, no. Sorry, okay. We should really make it clear. This is a weekday situation.
We are back on Monday. Monday.
Weekday. Weekdays. I don't recommend that you drink your way all the way through the apocalypse.
No, do not.
But just on Fridays. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner, and our senior producer is Jody Becker.
Daniel Ramirez engineered the broadcast today. I guess it's a podcast, not a broadcast. Our theme music was composed by Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez. When is he coming back, by the way? That's the question. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. The senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark. And that is what we got.
The general manager of feels.
She actually gave me a hard time. She was like, I resent that, and I'm not a... You and I are totally different in feelings. And I'm like, Deb, she knows it pretty well, man.
I'm just gonna keep it going. What's she gonna do? Buddy. Not send me beer? Not let me expense my beer?
Right? Not make me stay home all the time? Oh God,
dear boss, I would never expense beer. That's absurd.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.